going to continue to unfold the book of Hebrews today, and today is actually June already, June 3rd of 2012. I titled it The Hall of Heroes, and Thursday of this week I was of the opinion that doing 20 verses was too big of a chunk, but I decided that I'd go ahead and do it anyway, so it'll probably move along rather rapidly, so you don't want to lay your pencil down filling out your outline. So what does a Hall of Heroes look like in your mind? When you think of a Hall of Heroes, do you think of the chapter we read in 2 Samuel this morning of David's mighty men and some of these guys who took a spear and stood in the middle of a barley field all by themselves and took on 800 guys and killed them all? Some of the exploits of the mighty men are just amazing. What they did when everybody else faltered, they stood, and everybody else just came back to plunder all the dead. I mean, when you think of heroes, do you think of military people like that? Do you think of political people? Do you think of entertainment people? I watched part of a Cubs game yesterday. Do you think of sports people as your heroes? What do you think of when you think about heroes? And how could we learn from this passage? What could we learn about faith from them? So here's the outline I came up with. Heroes of faith make choices. Heroes of faith live different circumstances. Heroes of faith have different consequences. And heroes of faith are combined. And you'll notice that it took up quite a bit of your bulletin to get all of that in there. So, here's some of the choices. Beginning at verse 20 of chapter 11, Isaac had faith, so he blessed Jacob and Esau. He told them what was ahead of them. So your first point is, A, heroes of faith bless their children and give them vision. Bless and vision. When you think about children, is each child different? If you'll remember the stories of Esau and Jacob, they did not get the same blessing. They did not get the same life. And in our culture, a lot of times people think that you can just do a generic 43-cent postage stamp for every kid, every child, and they're the same. But that's not biblically true. Those of us who live a life of faith must give a different blessing and a different vision to each child. You have to treat them all as individuals. And not all of them get the same deal. So, it goes on in verse 21. Jacob had faith. He blessed each of Joseph's sons. He blessed them when he was dying. Because of his faith, he worshiped God as he leaned on the top of his wooden staff. So, B, heroes of faith are grandfathers that bless each child and lead worship in all situations. So, your first blank is each, and your second blank is worship. And the thing of it is, grandfathers also take the time to bless each one of the grandchildren, and they are the ones who instruct and lead in worship. So, verse 22, Joseph had faith, so he spoke to the people of Israel about leaving Egypt. He gave directions about his bones. He did that toward the end of his life. So, see on your outline, heroes of faith give directions. Your blank is directions about their death and funeral. Do you remember the Ready to Die series that we did? We actually took 6 weeks and talked about being ready to die so that you don't leave a burden and difficult situation for your family. This is one of the things of faith that you do as a believer is you make those provisions. You make those preparations. You make all of the legal documents ready so that when you pass, it's not a difficult thing for your children and your grandchildren and your family. You give directions on how you want that to go. It goes on to say in verse 23, Moses' parents had faith. So they hid him for 3 months after he was born. They saw he was a special child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. So D on your outline, heroes of faith are not afraid of big government commands. We always obey God, but as men and women of faith, we don't always obey the government. There are times that the government says abortion is a good thing. We don't have to agree with and do that. There are a number of things that the government will tell you in the near future that you might want to not obey. For instance, when our sitting president cancels a day of prayer and tells you you're not supposed to pray on the National Day of Prayer, I think it's a good idea to go ahead and do that. Or when he says it would be really good if you would, this year, spend time in Ramadan and thinking and praying like the Muslims do. I don't think that's a good idea. Some of the things that they tell you to do, don't do them. Always obey what God has to say. And as we read in Timothy this morning, always pray for the people that are in authority over you. But there will be times, and more in the near future, I think, that you will have to make decisions to not be afraid of big government and do what God tells you to do instead. Now, move on to verse 24. Moses had faith, so he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. That happened after he had grown up. So E on your outline. Heroes of faith, after they have grown, is your blank, grown up, make God-centered decisions. Do children and grandchildren need your help in learning to make God-centered decisions? Well, yeah, they do when they're children. But once they are grown, then you need to let them make the choices themselves. And you pray that they'll make decisions like Moses did, but you never really know. But you have to let children grow up, and when they're grown, make their own decisions. Only when they're children and when they're grandchildren do you help them understand the right decisions. So, verse 25, he chose to be treated badly together with the people of God. He chose that instead of enjoying sin's pleasures for a short time. So, F on your outline, heroes of faith, avoid is your blank. Avoid enjoying sin's pleasures even for a short time. Sin is sin. And you must see it as sin. You avoid sin whenever possible. You avoid it whenever possible. And then you confess it when necessary. So you must realize that sin is there. It is all the time. And the sin-sick world that we live in, the pleasures of the world are going to entice. Whenever possible, avoid them. When you do find yourself entangled with them, don't stay there. Confess it and move on, and then do the best you can to avoid it next time. Verse 26, he suffered shame because of Christ. He thought it was of great value. He considered it better than the riches of Egypt, and he was looking ahead to God's reward. So G on your outline, heroes of faith may suffer, is your first blank. Suffer because of Christ, but they're looking ahead, is your second blank, to God's reward. So there are times when the heroes of faith will suffer. Not everybody gets by and sashays through without suffering. When we get to the last part of this chapter, it's clear some people had the circumstances of being blessed and some people had the consequences of suffering. And so we need to know that going in. Bad things do happen to good people. It's not a guarantee that if you become a Christian, everything's going to be hunky-dory and an amazing, unfettered life. there's just as much chance as bad things will happen to you because of your faith and looking ahead to what God has in store for you on the other side is where the hope and the strength comes from. Verse 27, because of his faith, he left Egypt. It wasn't because he was afraid of the king's anger. He didn't let anything stop him. He saw the one who can't be seen. So, H on your outline, heroes of faith act because they see the one, capitalize the O, one who can't be seen. Moses didn't run from Egypt because he was afraid of the consequences of what he'd done. He was in a process of seeking the one you can't see. And now it took him 40 years wandering before he actually found that. But he left Egypt to seek this one true God that he met on the mountain in the fiery bush. Faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance of what we can't see. We move through life. We move in the direction of seeking this one you can't see. It's not based on what you see. It's based on what you can't see. 28 says, because of his faith, he was the first to keep Passover feast. He commanded the people of Israel to sprinkle blood on their doorways. He did so that the destroying angel would not touch their oldest sons. We read this morning in 2 Samuel of another destroying angel that was going through Israel and killed 70,000 people. These things happen. And so we need to be men and women of faith to understand that. Heroes of faith are the first to keep what is commanded of God's people. See, somebody always needs to be the first one to obey. Somebody always has to be the first one to start it. There's always somebody who does. Not that long ago, I had a group of people in the John Hancock building on the 97th floor. We had had dinner, and the waitress says, anybody want dessert? And there was a group of us there. You know, it wasn't just two people. There was a group of us there, and the waitress said, if one of you wants dessert and orders it, probably at least half of the rest of the people will. Cost me a lot of money when one person said they wanted dessert on the 97th floor in the signature room. But the deal is somebody has to be the first one to obey. Somebody starts that. And it could be you. It's somebody of faith that's going to start the obedience cycle. And why not it be you? Why don't you try to be the first one to obey? It goes on to say in verse 29, the people had faith. So they passed through the Red Sea. They went through on dry land. The Egyptians tried to do it, but they drowned. So, Jay, heroes of faith are people. That's your blank. People that experience God's provision and observe the judgment of God. It's just normal people who see God do these amazing things. And it's because of their faith that they get to watch it happen. Not only their salvation, but the destruction of evil. Now, you may have to wait for that, but it'll come. Verse 30, people had faith, so the walls of Jericho fell down. It happened after they had marched around the city 7 days. So, okay, heroes of faith are people that see God's strongholds destroyed. These are people just like you and me who watch God destroy the strongholds. Now, God does this on his timetable, not ours. And it's no reason to give up because it's not going as fast or as well as you thought it should. You just keep walking around, and when God says shout, you shout, and the walls fall down. And it's amazing that God starts with the big guys and knocks the walls down, but he will destroy the strongholds in your life, in the lives of your family members that you're concerned about. And the deal is we need to keep the faith, keep marching, keep believing until it fits into his timetable. Verse 31, Rahab the prostitute had faith. She welcomed the spies. That's why she wasn't killed with those who didn't obey God. L, heroes of faith are people that God welcomes, is your blank, welcomes from sinful lives. Rahab's life wasn't perfect, but she was welcomed in. The application is this. We all make choices. We make choices all the time. Start making ones that'll make you a hero in God's kingdom, a hero of faith. So all of those choices are choices that the author of Hebrews wrote down to give us guidelines. Now you'll notice that none of those choices had anything to do with acquiring a nice home or a fast chariot or wealth stashed away. You'll notice that all of those things had to do with different things than the primary functions of our culture and even our church culture at times. So we need to look at what the Bible says about faith and direct our choices that way, not the world's way. So, number two on your outline, heroes of faith live different circumstances. Not all of these people had the same circumstances. Here's what it says in verse 32. What more can I say? I don't have time to talk about all the others. I don't have time to talk about Gideon and Barak and Samson and Japheth. I don't have time to tell you about David, Samuel, and the prophets. Because of their faith, they took over kingdoms. They ruled fairly. They received blessings that God had promised. They shut the mouth of lions. They put out fires. They escaped being killed by the sword. Their weakness was turned to strength. They became powerful in battle. They beat back armies from other countries. Women received back their dead. The dead were raised again. So, A on your outline, point number two, the faith they received the blessings that God promised. Received is the blank. Now, as we look at the next few verses, not everybody received what was promised. But these people did. So what's that mean? Some of us will get to have these fun things. I mean, we'll get to be Daniel in the lion's den, and God will shut the mouths of lions. But thousands of Christians were torn apart by lions in the Colosseum. They didn't receive it. Some of us will, some of us won't. But that doesn't mean God isn't being faithful or that we aren't being faithful. There are just different circumstances for different people. B on your outline. Because of their faith, they escaped being killed by the sword. They escaped. Not everybody's going to escape, but these people did. When you read about King David and his mighty men and the conflicts that they had, and he taking Goliath's sword and whacking the guy's head off and walking around the rest of the day carrying the head. I mean, some people escape and some people don't. See on your outline, because of their faith, their weakness turned to strength. Turned is your blank. Because of faith, God can take the weak areas of our lives and make them into strengths. And as we see with Rahab, he can take problem areas in your life and make them into strengths. The application is this. We are in different circumstances, but we have the same opportunity to live by faith in Jesus Christ. Every one of us here is in different circumstances. Nobody's in the same situation. But every one of us has the same opportunity to put faith in Jesus. And it's wrong to look at each other's lives and say, well, if they just had more faith, it'd be like so-and-so or such-and-such. That's not true. Biblically, it's not true. A lot of these people had great faith. Some of them escaped. Some of them didn't. Let's look at some of them that didn't. And I called them consequences. I came up with these four C's of choices, circumstances, consequences, And I called this section consequences. Verse 35, others were made to suffer greatly. They suffered greatly. But they refused to be set free. They did so that after death they would be raised to a better life. There's a difference in what you experience on the other side based on how you live here. And some of the people who have bad consequences end up better off on the other side. Verse 36. Some were laughed at, some were whipped. Still others held in chains. They were put in prison. I watched yesterday a special on PBS about the catacombs in Rome, where they would throw people in the holes down into the catacombs with the rotten bodies. Some of them didn't do so well. Some were killed with stones. Some were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went around wearing skins of sheep and goats. They were poor. They were attacked. They were treated badly. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in the deserts and mountains. They lived in caves. They lived in holes in the ground. Here's your outline. A, because of faith, others were made to suffer greatly. That's your blank. Suffer greatly. The one above, they escaped. Now, these are men and women of faith. There are many denominations in our country that say if you have enough faith, all you're going to have is prosperity, health, wealth. That's just not biblically accurate. Now, it's got to be really awkward when you're one of the leaders of those denominations and you get sick. Because you're not supposed to. You're supposed to. Anyway, we won't go there. There are people that suffer greatly. B, because of their faith, they refuse to be set free. Now, that's something you need to look at. Refused. When you get into the consequences, and you may, how you respond is critical. How you respond to the consequences is critical. Because of their faith, they did so that after death they would be raised to a better life. Better is your blank. How you live here makes a difference on what it's like in eternity. Some people, because of the way they live, have a better life on the other side. The same way now, not everybody is the same. The same way now, not everybody's circumstances are the same. On the other side, it appears biblically that it's the same deal. How you live here, as we looked at in our offering, what you do with your money, God's money, but we'll call it yours, what you do with the money you've been entrusted makes a difference. When you read Timothy, makes a difference what happens on the other side. So, here's the application. There are different consequences to confessing faith in Jesus Christ as Lord. There will be different consequences for people. Don't ever deny Him to change the consequences. Revelations makes it really clear that the Antichrist, when he comes, there will be marks given, and if you receive the mark and deny your faith, the consequences on the next life is not good. And that's not very far down the road, where you will have to make a choice between buying and selling, wheeling and dealing, and in many cases, even life or death. The war that we fight against terror right now, the religion that we fight against wants to kill. The only good Christian is a dead Christian. That's what their book says. There are consequences, and you must hold the faith to the very end. Don't ever deny them, and you might as well start getting ready for that now, that you don't deny them when the consequences get bad. Now, our last point, heroes of faith are combined, was the last C word I come up with. Here's what it says in verse 39. All those people were praised because of their faith, but none of them received what God promised. Verse 40, God had planned something better for us, so they would only be made perfect together with us. I was talking to Julie about that, and she looked on her iPhone, and she read this to me from the message. God had a better plan for us, that their faith and our faith would be combined together to make one completed whole. Their lives of faith are not complete apart from ours. So here's the deal. Because they had faith, all those people will be praised. Your blank is praised. Because of faith, everybody of faith will be praised. God is planning, is the blank in B, planning something so that all of them will be made perfect together with us. It's like each one of us of faith, and it doesn't matter whether it's David, Samson, Daniel, doesn't matter whether it's anybody in the Old Testament, anybody in the New Testament, anybody living now, we're all going to be cells in this one body. When it all comes together, God's planning something very special. So, will your life of faith confessing Jesus be one that makes the hero party list? What choices do you know right now that you need to make? What are the things that when you looked at those choices, you saw, this is where God wants me to change? This is what God wants me to choose. What is it? And then respond in faith and make those choices. And don't let the circumstances or the consequences deter you from being a part of this one coming together in the near future. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you again. We call you Father. We thank you for what you have done. And we confess that any faith we have is a gift from you. But it's like a lot of other things. We need to exercise it. We need to be actively involved in it. I pray that you'd use these heroes in our biblical text to inspire us to become heroes of faith in our culture, in our generation, in this day and time. And may we do it all for your glory and because of the great love that you have shown to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.